Mic's on.
I'm ready to go.
All right. It's been a special blessing and I believe privilege for us to have Brother Charles Elliott. On the way home yesterday, we had taken Brother Elliott to dinner, and Teresa and I, we often hit Old 66 because it's not so hectic with the travel. As I drove 66, there's a guy standing out kind of in an off area by the highway with one of these canes, just standing there. And I went by, and I told Teresa I'd be miserable if I didn't go back and invite him to church. So I turned around, went back, got out, went over. He said, "Are you the Uber driver?" I said, "Nope, I'm not the Uber driver." And I told him who I was. And, of course, with the cane, and I could tell from his eyes that he was blind. And I said, "We've had the privilege this week to have a blind man who's been preaching." And I talked to him about it, and he told me he had a church, and I asked him if he knew what it meant to be saved. And he says, "Well, I've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And I said, "Well, are you trusting your baptism, or are you trusting the person of Jesus Christ?" And I began to witness to him. And he said, "Oh, no, no, I'm trusting Jesus Christ." And I, again, made the way of salvation plain to the man. And he brought up again about the Uber driver. And so I thought that's my hint that he's done talking. But I thought it was interesting. I've never seen anyone, I've traveled that route so many times, I've never seen anyone standing out with one of these canes. And I thought it can't be a coincidence. I've got to go back and talk to him. I just know his name's John. So you can pray for John that I trust he is saved. But I thought it might be an encouragement to him as a young man. He couldn't be, I don't think he's over 30 years old, that in spite of his blindness, he can serve the Lord. And so after this service, we'll go over and we'll have dinner. And everyone's invited, and I hope you all come. But after that, we're going to have some testimonies. And then I'm going to go up and meet with Brother Elliott up front, and we'll talk about his testimony. When he learned, he was in the Air Force, when he learned about his blindness that was imminent. And we'll talk more about that later. I want him to have plenty of time to share the gospel with us. So again, it's been our privilege. Brother Elliott goes over to Sri Lanka. He shared some of the testimonies this week with us. Tremendous need there, is there not? And as Mike was singing, I could imagine what was going on in your mind.
Yes.
About those many, many thousands, millions of lost souls there in Sri Lanka. So you share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Is this on? Yeah, I guess it's okay. Okay. Well, I want to first begin from the bottom of my heart to thank you, Pastor, for inviting me and getting to know you good people. And thank you for making me feel at home and welcome, and it's a joy when you come into a church and you can feel a presence of the Lord and a friendliness. It's such a blessing, and I don't mean this the wrong way, but it's not always that way in every place you go, and when it is, it just kind of warms your heart, and I thank you for that. And I could stay here all day and thank you for all the blessings, the wonderful room. You provided food, so many meals. I thank you for all the music, all of you that had a part in that, from the children on, for Mrs. Cox. Isn't she wonderful on the piano? And just for all of your kindnesses that had a part in this. Listen, you don't put on a conference like this without a lot of people doing a lot of things behind the scenes. And I thank the Lord for that. And all of you that have cooked and labored to bring food. It's going to be fun in a little while, isn't it? And we'll enjoy that. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Well, I want you to go to a strange place. It's called 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you will. For you that know anything about missions, it's kind of the heartbeat of where most of us preachers go. And I want to say, I enjoyed the Sunday school hour this morning. Your pastor, I've had numbers of people telling you about how much they've learned through the years and how smart he is. I want you to know something. He is. when we talk at the dinner table, I feel like I'm in the first grade. And I mean, this man has got a mind, and God has given him a tremendous memory and a lot of, you know, it's one thing to have knowledge, but to have wisdom. And God has given that to him. And you're very blessed to have a man that's not blown away by every new doctrine down the road, amen? It stands by the book, loves people, but says, I'm not moving. I'm standing where God stands. And boy, you don't know what that means to me to see that along the day. We're seeing so much change across this world and through America. So it's been my honor to be here. I just want you to stand with me, if you will. I want to honor God. I'm going to just do my best to quote one verse. I do not intend to do anything. I couldn't add any more to what was said. But I felt like early this morning, God said, go this way, Charles. And so I want to mind the Lord. Look in verse number 9, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, just verse number 9. Listen to what it says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Father, thank you from the bottom of my heart for saving my soul. Lord, I love you today. I do not have words to express that. And Lord, I know that everyone that knows you in this room loves you today. Lord, we've been blessed this week. I thank you for all these people, the warmness, the generosity, their kindness. Lord, thank you for them. I pray your blessing would be upon them. Speak to our hearts this morning from the Word of God. Lord, we need you. Meet with us in a special way now in these few minutes. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When Joe asked me when I was coming, if I would mind on Wednesday, he said, if you would not mind, we'd like to ask you to speak at the chapel service for the older children at the school. And I was glad to do that. And God put a verse upon my heart about grace. I felt last night when I got home, we had some fellowship with your pastor and his wife, and I enjoyed that. And I got home a little earlier and said, Lord, I need to know clear what you want me to do. And felt like the Lord said, go this way. And I'm going to talk a little bit more on just this thought of grace. And grace as it has to do particularly with missions. You cannot be saved apart from grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So no man can boast, can he? Whatever we have came because of God's grace. Receive that by faith. And you cannot see victory in your life. Whatever you face in life and I face in life, if it's going to be any victory, it's going to all go back to God's glory and his grace. If not, you'll see bitter people who didn't understand that, and God's grace never took place farther than their salvation. But it also applies to missions. Now, when you come into this particular passage, these two chapters, 8 and 9, are really about one offering. And that was went into in depth, I know, for the last 5 weeks, but at least this morning when I was in Sunday school. But here's what I want you to see. Most of us have a general idea of what grace is. I guess across the Baptist circles that I'm in, we've all been taught, and just so we could all be on the same page, that grace is unmerited favor. In other words, we get what we don't deserve. We didn't get out and work for it. We can't say it's mine because you owe it to me. We got it because God gave it to us. And that's the only reason, isn't it? But if you really want a definition of what grace is, listen, there's no better definition, no dictionary can give you this, than what God wrote to us in verse 9. For if you want to know what grace is, you want to really see what it is, listen to what he says. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, you know me that have been here a few nights. You know that I do things a little bit different, I guess, in the scripture. But I've never known for sure if it's just because of my eyes or what. But I've got to visualize things. Everything in me has to, I have to try to see it. Now, you say that's an oxymoron. You can't see it. But you see it in a different way. I want you to walk with me for a moment back into some holy imagination. And let's just kind of get our minds off everything else. And we want to look at that place that's north of here. Now, not north as you know it, but as the Bible talks about it. It's a place north of here that we would call heaven. It's the third heaven. It's where the throne of God is. And there was a person up there who was rich. He was so rich that we couldn't calculate his riches if all of the computer systems of the world were hooked together. He was rich. He was so rich that he could speak planets into existence. He was so rich that everywhere he walked on streets of pure gold. Those that attended him were angels that fell prostrate before him as he walked. Garlands of lilies and roses were thrown before his feet everywhere he walked. He sat upon a throne that you and I cannot even imagine. If you took all of the thrones of all of the kings and queens of the world, they looked paltry in comparison to his. He wore a crown that if you took all of the gold, if you took all of the diamonds of the world and all the crowns of the kings and queens, they would look pretty paltry also. He held a scepter like no one ever had. He wore a robe that was more beautiful than anybody could design in all the world. And one day on that throne, he heard a hiss of a serpent on a planet that he had spoken into existence called Earth. He took off of his royal robe, laid aside his crown, put down his scepter, walked off the streets of gold into a virgin's womb, and he became poor. So poor that is you and I in our poorness can't imagine it. He had no place to be born but a cave, which was really nothing but a feeding place for cattle and sheep. They didn't have anything to wrap him in, so they put him in some old rags, some swaddling clothes, and laid him in a hollowed out piece of rock, which was called a manger, where the sheep could eat. And he became poor. So poor that he had to ride on another man's donkey, eat at another man's table, make his bed in Gethsemane so that a rock could be his pillow, and the starry heavens that he spoke into existence could be his blanket. And he became poor. So poor that those that he came to didn't even want him. So poor that they said, "The message that you have, we don't like. So we'll nail you on a cross with the common criminals." He was poor. And they killed him. By crucifixion, the most horrible way you could die. And he died poor. Put him in a grave that wasn't his, a borrowed tomb. Sealed it up and said, "There, that'll take care of that." But 3 days later, in his own power, he woke up, moved that stone away, walked on the earth for a while, and then ascended into glory. Why? So that you and me, who were poor, could be rich. You want to know what grace is? Remember that. The next time you and I get wondering why things are happening to me, stop and think about grace. I want to say two things and then we'll be done. as I looked at this and as I try to put this into my mind and I try to place it where it is and supposed to be at this point, and that is in terms of missions, because that's what this entire chapter and next chapter is about, I want to just remind you of two things about grace. One thing is that grace is an endowment. Maybe you are not real confident with that word, endowment. It just means a bestowment or a gift from one to another. Maybe occasionally, I just heard on the news, that's why I don't know, something about the endowment for the arts. And maybe you've heard of that. And that's something the government, I guess, has its own budget in it and endows so much towards the arts. Perhaps you've heard of a university say they got a rather large endowment. Perhaps you know of an individual who got an endowment. It is a gift. It is something that came from somebody else or some other entity and was given to another person or another entity. The Bible tells us that God, when he died, gave us something. And what he gave us was his life. What he gave us was himself. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, Paul said in the book of Romans, you're none of his. But when you receive Christ as your Savior, Christ, by the Holy Spirit, comes in and lives in you and I. And by that, we get an endowment. We get his life, his grace, and that makes us rich. I don't know how often you ever do it. I know along Baptist circles we sang this old song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. How many of you ever do that? You know, every once in a while, I do that. It wasn't long back. I came from one of my missionary trips overseas, and I was sitting in my room where I have my special place to study, and just if I want to listen to soft Christian music, I listen there. And I got thinking about that song, and I just said, Lord, I sang that many times, but Lord, honestly, I don't ever stop and do that. And I just sat down and said, Lord, I'm going to see if I can count my blessings. And I started back with my mom and dad. And I got real happy. I sat there and I thought, oh my word, I'm a rich man. I just started down with my good mom and dad, and my little brother. And then I found my sweetheart who I met in high school and married and lived 47 and a half years with me, and my two children and my grandchildren and now my great-grandchildren. And I just went on and on and on and on and on and on. And I said, God, and this is what I say a lot now to him, Lord, I'm a rich man. I am a rich, rich man. You say, well, really, how rich are you? Well, just as rich as God is. And he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in all the land, doesn't he? Well, I'm just as rich as Jesus is because Romans 8:17 said I'm joint heirs with Christ. Now, we got an attorney here. He'll tell you more than I know about it, but I don't know one thing. It's one thing to get an inheritance. It's another thing to have a joint inheritance. You can have a little bit given to you, but when you're in a joint inheritance, you don't have more than he has, and he don't have more than you have. Now, this will make your head spin. And you think about it, you don't have more than Christ does, and he doesn't have more than you have. Everything he has, you have. And everything you have, he has. You and I are rich this morning that know Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs. You say, well, how rich are you? Well, I'm only rich enough to have the greatest physician in the world, and that's the great physician. That's pretty rich, isn't it? You think you're pretty rich. Yeah, I have the best bodyguard in the world because no weapon formed against me can prosper. And I'm rich enough to tell you this morning, by the grace of God and the good hand of God, I have a reservation in heaven too. But it's only heaven, right? It's just heaven. It's just where we'll be with our Lord forever and ever and ever. And I'll see him for the first time as he is, face to face. I'll be able to see where they put a spear in his side. And I'll be able to see his hands with the nail prints on. And I'll be able to look into his beauty, they'll get more beautiful every day. And then I'll live on a mansion, not a mud hut, not a little room. My Bible says it's a mansion. I'll live on streets of gold. I'll live where the presence of light is the Lord Jesus himself. I'll live where there are no blind eyes, glory to God. I'll live where there are no deaf people, glory to God. I'll live where there are no walkers, hallelujah to God, amen. I'll live where there are no cancer institutes, because there is no cancer. I'll be living where there is no alcohol, glory to God, amen. I'll be living where there are no breweries, amen, hallelujah to God. I'll be living where there's no smoking and there's no drinking, hallelujah. I'll be living where all my relatives that got saved years ago will get together every once in a while and have a neck-hugging fest. Amen? That's going to be good. It's going to be glorious. I'm rich. And I want you to know this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, you're rich this morning. You can look at your meager paycheck, and most of us are. And you can look at maybe a little humble dwelling, but I want to tell you something this morning. If Jesus Christ lives in your heart, you're richer than the richest person in this world that has billions of dollars and is lost and on their way to hell. You are rich this morning. And you know why you and I are rich? Not for anything we have done, nothing, but because we turned to Jesus Christ. And he paid the price I couldn't pay. And he died for my sins. He was the just dying for me, the unjust. And he came into my heart. And he filled me with his love. And he filled me forever. And you cannot lose that salvation when he comes. And I'll have him forever and ever and ever and ever. And God endowed me by his grace and made me rich. But there's something else that grace does. And that is, grace is an enabler. Listen to what it is. Do you know what grace will do in simple fashion? Grace will allow you to give a rich man's offering. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. Think of what he said. He who was rich, became poor. Think what happened. He was willing to become poor so that you and I could become rich. And it was all his grace. Now, when I received Christ as my personal Savior, he came in to live in me, and he will shed that grace because of him living me out through me. And so me and you and me more properly, who say we're rich, can now do what we should do and what he did do, and that's give a rich man's offering. I'm always amazed, Pastor, when I hear people tell me about the giving of the multimillionaires across our world. Every once in a while, you will hear facts about, I'm talking the A-line people that are in Hollywood and what they make. And they'll have lists of what they gave to charity, and it is embarrassing. They get millions and millions and millions and give a paltry amount to charity. Our ex-vice president, in one particular year I heard of, had made hundreds of thousands of dollars, not only from his salary, which was well in that range, but because of speaking engagements. And he gave $300 to charity. That's like you and I throwing 50 cents in the offering and say, there, I did it, didn't I? If that saddens me to hear that, how does it sadden God when we who are rich, we who are so rich, give a poor man's offering? Now follow me. God does not ask us to give George Clooney makes. Or anybody else of that caliber of money. God does ask us to be stupid either. But God asks us to say, before you do it, think how rich you are. And think what made you rich. How'd I get rich? You didn't do anything to get it. He just made you rich. But he who made you rich is in you. And he who was rich became poor so that somebody else could be rich. And God is teaching us something here. And God is saying that what I want you to do is to let grace, which is that enabler, work with faith, which we talked about this morning, be the enlarger. And do what the Corinthians did. It starts by I wanting to wit or know what was bestowed on the grace that bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. But you'll notice the first thing it says that they gave themselves. That's always where it begins. In verse 3, they gave beyond themselves. You can't give beyond yourself if it's not faith. You can't give more than you have. And so God said, here's the way it works. You and I can sit down and say, God, I'm so rich. Now, I'm not rich in a lot of money. None of us probably have a lot of that. And don't have a very big house. And boy, my income, when I see what I get on the Social Security, I don't have it. But I'm rich, God. And you live in me. And you can put on my mind something, God, that you could do to show the world how rich I am through you. Most of you have already given, and that's okay. And I'm not trying to get you to come out here and say you need to get $500,000 to God. That's ridiculous. But rather to just say, I'm going to leave this earth someday. And God, did I do what you wanted? I'll tell you a little story, and I'm through. I've been going to Sri Lanka since 1997. I've been a part of their missions program for years now and preached in them many times. I was preaching, and this is about, I was trying to think this morning, it's about 12 or 13 years ago. We were actually in Colombo, which is about 2 million people. We were going from one area there, divided into 8 different areas of Colombo. Colombo 1, Colombo 2, that's the way they rate these different, instead of suburbs. And we were holding an evangelistic meeting for 3 days in a rented reception hall. And so during the day, people walk everywhere there. We'd hand out tracts and then we'd preach to them in the night. Gave an invitation and a young couple came forward. They were dealt with at the altar, and as we standing at the back, they came. His name was Rajesh, spelled R-A-J-I-S-H. I couldn't tell you his last name if I had to. It's a long, long name. We call him Raj now. And his little bride, Amanda. They stood and talked to me, and they wanted to just keep talking. And they didn't get saved that night. They did go to the altar. They had a lot of questions. They talked for a long time. I said, well, Rajesh, how'd you get here? He said, we were just walking the streets trying to find something to do, and it said out there, come here, a blind man. I said, hey, Mandy, let's go. So they come in, and he wanted to talk to me. We talked a long time. I tried to talk to him about the Lord. She was a Catholic, thought she was saved. So I had to leave, but they came the next Sunday, went to church. I encouraged them, and they got saved that day. They got gloriously saved. So when I came back, man, we become just real close. My wife was alive then, and we became very close. They're a lot younger than we were, and we took them under our wing. He was a disc jockey on the biggest hip-hop radio station in Colombo, and he was well-known. When Rajesh got saved, he walked out of that place and said, I'll never be back again. I'm through with that music. I'm going to just listen to God's music. Listen, this is the truth. They there were people from all kinds of recording stations trying to hunt him down to get him to come to work for them. I remember because he would tell me, what am I supposed to do, preacher? I don't want this, but they called me all the time. I said, just draw your line. You're just going to make a stand. Roger, I don't know what else to tell you. He said, I'm not going back. And so he didn't go back, and to this day he's never gone back. But he and little Amanda had some children. My wife was honored. They named their first daughter after my wife. And we got to love them. I got to watch Raj come to his first missions conference. Raj has you can imagine if you're a disc jockey, he has a tremendous personality. He's not a big guy, but boy, he's got a smile that'll fill a room, and he knows how to be happy with people, and he just knows that stuff. And he's just joyous to be around. And he always uses the same way. Every time you see him talk or witness, he always goes say, do you know my God? He's a big God, and he's the true God, and he can save you. And he says that over and over. Do you know my God? And he just you just got to be there to know how he talks. And that's the way he is. Very bold, but he always uses the word, my God's a big God. And so knowing him personally, I knew how his heart was changed, that God would love him, come from a pretty tough Hindu background. So he got involved in missions. It was about the third mission conference. He did something a little bit differently, and I'm just going to tell you a story. Rajesh left the business, and the only thing he could do, cell phones were starting to come out and were starting to come towards Asia. So he got a job selling cell phones. Rajesh made about $3,000 a year. Somewhere around $60 a week, if he could make that. That's about what he would make, somewhere in that neighborhood. He had a really small little place, very small. He and Amanda lived in, and very clean. And he didn't own any kind of transportation, rode a bus. And Rajesh wanted to get involved the third year in missions. I know his stories personally, someone tell it to you. Now, I want you to imagine what he makes now, $60 a week. He said, I just feel like God wants me to give $15 a week. Now, I want you to think what that is. That's a fourth of his income, which he cannot even hardly live on. Plus, he's already tithing. And he said, God, I'm going to mark up my card. And I'm going to trust you to give me $750 next year towards missions, because I believe that's what you put on my heart. $15 a week. He asked Mandy, he said, Mandy, we can't even hardly eat. But I believe God wants me to do this. God is so good. God won't fail us. And she said, Raj, God won't fail us. So Raj started. Now that may not seem like a lot to you, but if you made $100,000 a year and God put on your heart to give $25,000, would that make it a little more close to home? Or if you gave $50,000, made $50,000 a year and God put on your heart to give $12,000 or $1,000 a month and you didn't know where it was going to come from, would you give it? When Rod said that, I was half afraid, because I've seen people do crazy things. But God, I knew Raj meant it, because everywhere he went, he said, my God is big. My God is big. My God saved me. And he did, out of a horrible background. And Raj just said, I just want to do something for my God, for somebody else. I would watch him from time to time. He's now probably doubled or tripled his income, but he's also kept the same faith promise. One-fourth above my tithe. Whatever you prosper me, God, will go to missions. And I always enjoy when I get over there. I was over there a couple of years ago. It was the last conference I was in. And Rod just always, when I come, he gives me the biggest bear hug. And we hug each other and laugh and talk. And I noticed that the week before the mission conference, when he came in, he didn't have that big smile on his face. And he came up to me and said, howdy, preacher. And I said, Rod, what's going on? He said, the devil's trying to scare me again. And I said, what do you mean the devil's trying to scare you, Raj? He said, oh, he does this once in a while during the year. He said, sometimes my sales don't do too good, and I get a little bit behind in my missions, and I hate that preacher. And he said, but I know it's just a devil. He's just trying to scare me. He's just trying to scare me, and God's going to take care of it. And he always did. And so here's this week before, and he pulled me aside, and he said, I'm going to spend this week in my prayer closet a lot more, preacher, because I'm really behind. And I only got 1 week. But God's big, don't you believe, Brother Elliot? And I said, yeah. And he said, he told me to do this. God won't fail me now, will he? I said, has he ever failed you, Rush? He said, no, sir, he's never failed me. But he said, I'm really behind. He said, our sales are terrible. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I've got to have it in by next week. I came back to help start the next mission conference. He pulled me aside before Sunday school, had the biggest smile you could have seen at Claire from here. And I said, what happened, Rog? And he said, devil tried to scare me, but God did it, preacher. And he said he did it last night. He said, I got a contract you can't believe how big, and they already prepaid half of it. And he said, I've got all my tithes. And he said, I got all my missions, and I'm ready to go for a new missions conference. Now, Rajesh would never say, I'm a rich man, we'll get a rich man's offering. He would just say, God's big, and God wants me to do something. I thought about Raj. You don't know him. He's no big name. He had a little bit of a name as a hip-hop man, but nobody knows Rajesh. He just lives in Sri Lanka. Amongst all the other 22 million, tries to provide for his little family, faithful to his church. And I thought, I wonder what it's going to be like when old Rod steps across into heaven. And the Lord looks at him and says, well done, Rod, thou good and faithful servant. Rod didn't do much except he tried to give a rich man's offering. I just wonder, folks, when we come to the end, if we'd ever just say, God, if I could see it through your eyes, if I could just see that I could trust you, what we could do. And I hope you'll just think about what grace has done for you, that he was so rich that he's willing to become poor so that you could become rich. If you and I would take that same grace and say, God, you made me rich. Help me to do something to make somebody else rich. Father, I pray you'll bless our time. I thank you today for how you've worked. And God, I know these dear people want to serve you and love you, and you've already shown to some what you want. I don't know, Lord, what you're going to do, but I know, Lord, life isn't long on this earth. Help us to see things through your eyes. And Lord, when we leave this conference, don't let us just say, well, that was good, and let's go on. Help us to see there are people in the world that don't know what we know today. There are people all over the world going into cathedrals where there's no gospel, temples where there are wicked, demonic things going on. People who have never heard will die and go out into eternity. And God, help every one of us to just sit in our little pew in our home and say, God, what can I do? God, don't let me not forget all that you want me to know about what my life should be about on this earth. And let me get my priorities straightened out. Lord, maybe I don't need that 65-inch television. Maybe I really don't need that new thing. God, there's some little lady and some man hobbling along in life, just one block away from hell. And maybe I could help a missionary get over there. God, maybe I could do that. So please today, Lord, speak to us very soberly in our heart. Lord, we live in a materialistic society where everything around us is glitz and glamour, and you got to have it. All of the commercials try to make us feel guilty, God, if we don't have it. And yet, Lord, it's all going to burn up. So just I ask, God, as I leave here tomorrow morning and go home, that you'll keep your hand upon this church and help it to be a very strong, missionary-minded church for the glory of your name. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.